Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Today we talk films with Tulsa World movie critic Michael Smith. Michael's been the film critic at the World for the past 8 years and sees roughly 200 films a year. Today he gives us his take on the just-released and holiday-released films, as well as an early impression of the possible Oscar contenders. One film you won't hear about is perhaps the year's biggest Hollywood story. I spoke with Michael yesterday morning prior to the decision by Sony Films to not release the comedy The Interview, the Seth Rogen, James Franco film about a ridiculous plot to kill North Korean leader Kim Jong-un, which has spiraled into a major international incident. While we did discuss the movie during the course of the conversation, subsequent events, including a decision by the studio to withdraw the film, has made that discussion moot. But today we will talk about the films that are coming out this holiday season. Michael Smith is my guest today on Studio Tulsa. Michael Smith, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you, Rich.
Well, we like to read the reviews you have in the Tulsa World, but today we're asking you to maybe talk about the big push at the end of the year. And it seems like as we look at films for this particular year, in the past few years, you know, the big blockbusters started coming out right after Halloween, sometimes the first week of November, definitely by Thanksgiving week. Well, there's been a few films during that period, but it seems like everything is just loaded in this last couple of weeks of December, which is the old way it used to be. What's going on with that?
You know, they've really concentrated things into that December period for one reason, and I can't tell you whether it's true or not. Sometimes the voting seems to prove that it is, but they think you need to be the last thing the voters see.
For award season.
The freshest thing in their mind. There are certain awards groups, and again, there's the Golden Globes. There's so many awards out there now that some we've never heard of. We have no idea who's voting on. But the Academy Awards are the all-important still. You never win a Golden Globe and keep saying you're a Golden Globe winner if you've won an Academy Award. You say you're an Academy Award winner. And the Academy, they vote last. And they want their movies, studios, filmmakers of a certain variety, they want their movies to be as fresh in your minds as possible. And sometimes we see it ends up being almost all movies that come out in December that sometimes can line up those 9 or 10 best picture slots.
And, of course, I think we're starting to see a return to what has been a trend over the years. The real serious Oscar contenders really open in New York and L.A. at the end of the year. It comes to Tulsa in the early part of January.
That's right. You know, that's really a certain kind of film, the indie film, that independently made film that maybe can have a big star, but maybe it's a passion project for that star. Didn't cost that much to make. That's the kind of movie that can get a limited release in New York and L.A., expand from there, get to Tulsa. 6 weeks later, I'm getting these calls from people. When are we getting this movie? Is it ever coming to Tulsa? I've seen it advertised on The Daily Show or something like that for a month. And it is coming, yes. Sometimes you still get the studio movie that's positioned for Oscars, like Christmas Day, Unbroken coming out, the Angelina Jolie-directed film about the World War II hero. And that will open wide. It's got that studio backing. But, yeah, those independent films, they have to get a little start and see how it goes to see how they expand.
Well, two of the films I'm actually looking forward to seeing during the holiday, one, Unbroken, the story of Lou Zamperini, who, you know, you can't Hollywood up this story any more than it is because it is the most Hollywood story you could ever imagine. An Olympic athlete goes to Berlin, runs in the Berlin Olympics as an Olympic runner. He serves his country in World War II. He's shot down. He's thought to be lost at sea, captured in a POW camp in the Japanese, abused. He somehow survives at sea. He survives the POW camp and comes back. In fact, the great broadcaster, Marty Glickman, always told the story of, you know, he was also a 36 Olympian who was kicked off the relay team because he was Jewish. And he always told the story that, you know, he came back and when Lou Zamperini was lost at sea, he put together the Lou Zamperini Memorial Mile as part of an indoor track event at the Madison Square Garden. And the first year, they had the Lou Zamperini Memorial Mile. The next year, Lou Zamperini came back and started the Memorial Mile in its second and last running. I mean, it's a great story. So I'm really interested to see that film. And the other film I'm interested in, which is the exact opposite, it's already opened in New York and L.A., but I don't know when it's coming to Tulsa, and that's The Imitation Game with Benedict Cumberbatch as Alan Turing.
Well, that's right. I have some good news. It opens next week here in
All
Tulsa.
Right.
It will be opening on Christmas Day. That's going to be another a favorite during award season, I think. It has another great World War II story, just like Unbroken, about Alan Turing, the British man who was working to break the Enigma code, the secret code that the Nazis were using on everything. The Allied forces could not break this code, and it's a wonderful tale. It's one of those things people who watch BBC, they're going to go and they're going to say, oh, there's Benedict Cumberbatch in the starring role. Well, I love it already. Oh, well, there's Keira Knightley. Hey, that guy's the chauffeur from Downton Abbey. They're just going to love the cast. They're going to love the story, I think. But it's a
poignant story because of what happens after the war, too.
It's a complex story as well. We're talking about a man who was brilliant, but was also a gay man, which at that time in Great Britain was a crime. That's something that it's a very intelligent film. It can be a hard film to watch at times as well, to see what we do to people who, despite their service to our country, an enormous service to our country in the case of a man who broke a code that may have saved millions of lives, it's a wonderful story.
Now, of the films that are coming out at the end of the year, have you seen most of them, or have you seen about a portion of them? What would you say at this point?
I've seen pretty much everything.
So what has impressed you most?
Well, some of the best films I've seen this year have come out predictably just in the last couple of months or so. Nightcrawler is a movie that I have been telling everybody about to go see. It stars Jake Gyllenhaal, a very unusual film.
This is the paparazzi film.
Well, in a way, it's a very unusual little satire on journalism, mm-hmm. Which intrigues me, but also on the job market as well. a young man desperate to find work finds these nightcrawlers, as we might call them, these freelance photographers running around from crime scene to murder scene to car accident scene in L.A. to get the best footage they can to sell to the morning TV shows. And if it bleeds, it leads in this story. And he's an entrepreneurial young man. He's not afraid to take risks. Like, if he gets there before the police, moving bodies around to get the best shot possible. And it's a very intense thriller. It works as a comedic satire. Jake Gyllenhaal, I think, just gives the performance of the year. A very underrated actor. Another smaller film is Whiplash. Is another movie I'm telling everybody to go see. If you don't see this, you're not going to see J.K. Simmons in what I'm convinced is the Oscar winner for Best Supporting Actor.
Yeah, he plays this teacher that mentors this young jazz drummer and literally drives him to the edge.
That's it's
maybe
absolutely
over.
Right. It's the inspirational teacher story turned on its head. He's completely sadistic in a way that he is pushing his students to be excellent, to reach their potential, because, as he says, the two most dangerous words in this world are good job. And it just breeds mediocrity. And he's, oh my gosh, it's a performance from the man you I think most of us know from the Farmers Insurance commercials, and we're going to see him here and not recognize him because he is a bad dude.
That's a Whiplash. Let's talk about some of the movies here at the end of the year. Now, another film that's been getting a lot of Oscar buzz earlier is Reese Witherspoon's performance in Wild.
Yes.
This is a story that's based on a true story of a woman who walks away from her life to walk the Pacific Crest Trail from California up to the top of Washington. Have you seen that film yet?
I have. Uh-huh. I have, and it's a very good film. That's a review I'm going to have coming out very soon. Story is that of Cheryl Strayed and goes on this 1,100-mile, it's not quite the full 2,700 of the Pacific Crest Trail, but again, it's 1,100-mile, three-month hike that she does go on, and it's an exceptional performance by her, very different for Reese Witherspoon than anything you've seen her in. Wonderful cinematography and wonderful performance by Laura Dern. I think both of those women will be nominated for Academy Awards in that picture.
Of course, as you watch television, the films seem to be getting an awful lot of publicity, and that can be a good thing or a bad thing. the last Peter Jackson installment of The Hobbit, they're seeing an awful lot of ads about that. It seems like they've been pretty successful films. What are you hearing about the final installment of The
Hobbit?
Because it looks like the epic to end the world.
Well, it is. It's absolutely. It's the epic to end Middle Earth, at least in this case, cinematically, because they won't be revisiting that. They've made six films of it. Of course, this is the third Hobbit film based on one book. There's been enough teeth gnashing about that fact alone. But I'm leaving here to go see that movie, and I'm fully expecting what we expect out of lots of movies these days. The third film is the final battle, and that means it's going to be 2 hours of explosions and
over the top.
Absolutely. I have not seen that movie yet. That would not have happened 10 years ago with The Lord of the Rings. We remember that coming out, the final film. Oh, they wanted critics to see that. They wanted everyone to see that, and it won 11 Academy Awards. They haven't shown that one to me yet. I don't think we're going for Oscars this time. I think we're going for breaking the bank at the box office, yes.
Let me ask you, being a film critic and doing this for the number of years, you've been doing it for about 8 years, I'm sure you look at films differently now than you did, say, 8 years ago, or as before you were doing films where you were just a casual watcher. Can you still enjoy just a big shoot 'em up that's not really heavy, in-depth film, just for the sheer special effects and sort of eye candy of it?
Absolutely.
You still do?
Absolutely. I still do. Obviously, I see about 200 movies a year now, and I have to watch them with a critical eye. But on the weekends, I still want to see a movie with my family. You know, every year I have something on my top 10 list that's what people would refer to as a genre film. I've had the Avengers film from a couple of years ago.
Uh-huh.
I had the last Hunger Games movie on my top 10 of the year. There's absolutely no reason that, my goodness, Casino Royale. There's no reason sometimes that the most entertaining movie of the year can't be one of the best movies of the year. And I honestly look at other critics that every single film is the most dramatic thing, or all foreign films and document, and there's no room for comedy, even, or a genre film of this type. And I think that's very short-sighted. Mm-hmm. So absolutely, I can go and enjoy those to the fullest extent and just wring my hands and say, this is great.
My guest today is Michael Smith, a movie critic for the Tulsa World. He's a busy man these days as seems like the movies are compressed into this last couple of weeks of the year, and he's been busy watching films, and he joins us today on Studio Tulsa to talk about what's impressed him, what's maybe not impressed him as much, and maybe some picks into some of his top 10, which I'm sure we'll be reading about in the newspaper. He's our guest today on Studio Tulsa. Well, the other film that's been getting a lot of publicity is the Disney version of Into the Woods by Stephen Sondheim.
Mm-hmm.
And we were chatting earlier, and you said, oh, this is a family-friendly film. And I'm going, oh, no, what have they done to Stephen Sondheim? Because, because yes, it is fairy tales, but the whole story of the musical is you get your wish, and then you find out your wish was not all that great.
That's right.
And I assume that that message is still there, but I it sounds like maybe some of that's been softened a bit.
Well, I don't want to say that because I have not seen the whole film yet.
Okay.
I've seen a small piece of the film, mm-hmm. but I've not seen the whole film. But it is a matter of it being Stephen Sondheim, and he has gone on record saying it's not quite what I originally wrote. It is a Walt Disney film, but it's still got witches that'll skip. Meryl Streep still does a beautiful job, from what I've seen, as the witch in that film. And we still have our people who get their wishes and aren't completely pleased with the results of these, again, grim fairy tales, which were very dark.
And this is the new genre of musical. You know, they said the musical and the Western were dead. Well, the Western's still pretty much moribund, but yes. The musical seems to come back, and it's these stars who are not being sung by Marnie Nixon anymore. They're really singing the piece. Chicago, I think, started the trend, and I think now you're seeing a lot of films where, you know, you're seeing an actor, maybe the voice is not the greatest, but they're doing a film version of a musical. And this is the same thing. And you get to hear Meryl Streep sing. You're seeing just a wonderful cast in this case.
Right. I laugh because these things can be cyclical. And it's funny what people will do. Mamma Mia was a film I can remember. It made something like $650 million worldwide. And that was despite Pierce Brosnan singing in the film. Sometimes it just doesn't matter. But, yes, if we're in an era where we have a successful musical, like we've had one or two the last couple of years, if something captures a zeitgeist, kind of like that Sound of Music with Carrie Underwood last year, people get excited for some more musicals and seeing something like that.
I think
again,
maybe this year's Peter Pan put the kibosh on that one.
We'll see when the next live
production is. Oh, my God,
is.
That was terrible. Well, let's talk about a couple other films that are coming out. And one might be very interesting. It's Mark Wahlberg's new film, The Gambler. And this looks kind of dark, but it looks really, really interesting, at least from the trailers. What do you know about this film?
Well, I hated it. I can say that.
No Oscar for Mark Wahlberg.
No, not this time. And I think that's maybe something he might have been looking at before. You know, it's one of those cases. I cannot remember a film that was made in the 1970s, a real auteur-driven period, that when it's remade now is better than the 1970s version. Mm. The 1974 film, The Gambler, that starred James Caan, was a very hard film, very dark, kind of during that period, American disillusionment, a man, a gambler, a literature professor. Yes, Mark Wahlberg as a literature professor at Columbia. There's the first cause of believability we have in the film. But that was a wonder film. This one is, the brains are gone, the brawn is more, it's really gritty to the point of, you know, the violence you might see on something, the HBO shows that people, but it's not very good.
And what about Bradley Cooper's new film, Clint Eastwood's American Sniper?
Now, that is one I have not seen yet as well. Mm-hmm. There's just a couple of these, because that one doesn't come out still for another month here in Tulsa.
Oh.
I think January 16th is when we're going to see American
and
Sniper.
That will be open in New York and L.A.
That's right. That's doing that about right now, and That's still Clint Eastwood directing that film, and it'll be looking for Oscars. It hasn't been getting nominations in the recent ones coming up, so I think that one's maybe fading in its hopes a little bit.
My guest today is Michael Smith, a movie critic for the Tulsa World, as we talk about the films coming out at the end of the year. Let's talk about some of the films that are already out. Well, there's one other film we should mention. That's the Stephen Hawking film, The Theory of Everything. Now, that's already playing, I think, right here.
It is. It is already playing and doing pretty well for an independent film. And it's probably going to be a real contender at the Academy Awards as well. The story of Stephen Hawking and basically his life story from as a child to a man who has unbelievable intelligence in mathematics, and then at age 21 receives this diagnosis that he's probably only got a couple of years to live because of the disease that he's been diagnosed with. And the story of it's really a story that focuses as much on his wife as on him. I found the film strong in that sense from a family and background sense. I found the film, I guess when I went to a Stephen Hawking film, I expected to see more science than there was. I found the film lacking in that sense, but it does have a couple of very good performances. Eddie Redmayne, Felicity Jones are a couple of young actors who you're probably going to hear their names a lot in award season here.
A couple other films I'll just mention. I know some you liked and some you didn't like. I know Interstellar has been getting sort of mixed reviews from critics. If I remember right, you didn't care for Interstellar.
I did not care for it.
But other critics have really loved that film. What was lacking in your view?
Well, the film was too long.
Okay.
The film was too complex in the sense that I thought it wanted to make things almost difficult to understand, but I was able to look at them and go, well, that doesn't make sense to me at all. I couldn't. There's things like a man trying to follow some coordinates and kind of accidentally stumbling on the NASA. Again, this is set in the future where there is no NASA, and within a couple of minutes, it seems like he's driving in the desert and stumbles upon this underground headquarters of NASA, which is actually still in existence. And Michael Caine, it seems like he basically says, "Oh, we're so glad you're here, greatest pilot America has ever known. Our ship leaves in 2 hours. Can you guide it and leave your family for the rest of your life?"
Okay, I get a sense of that.
there's many more cases of that I could go on with, but it's big. And people, I'm still a good member of the cult of Christopher Nolan. I still believe a movie like Inception, I thought was beautiful. I felt like I could still watch that after 5 or 6 times, and I have, and still little key unlocks something new each time. That didn't happen with Interstellar.
Mm. Birdman, though, was on the other side, I think. You really like Birdman.
That's a really exceptional film. That I've only given 4 stars to 3 movies this year. That's Nightcrawler, Whiplash, and Birdman. This movie starring Michael Keaton as a formerly very
action
famous
hero.
As Birdman,
yeah.
an adventure comic book type hero who's still trying to prove he's relevant in this world. He's trying to put on a Broadway play, and it's not going very well. The fact that he has a mental illness doesn't help, that this little voice in his head of Birdman who keeps telling him he shouldn't be doing these things, he's doing, that he's more famous than this, he shouldn't reduce himself to this. And it's quite an interesting film. It works as a film that seems to be edited without editing, that it's one continuous shot for 2 hours that you
wow.
see happening to this jazz beat that's really unusual. A very good story. A lot of stars in that movie as well.
Mm-hmm. So really, one of your top films of the year.
You know, it's interesting. I think it really works. A lot of our best movies this year are ones I think work on a dramatic sense, but also kind of a comedic satire sense. I think you've got a man who, you know, once you've been famous, you're desperate to be famous again. But then he can look around and go, "My gosh, look at what you have to do to be famous these days. I'm not sure I want any part of that either."
Yeah. Another film, I don't know if you've reviewed this or not, but Chris Rock's new film, Top 5.
Yes.
You like that?
Very good film. Very good.
I mean, it's
very
getting
funny. He's very good. Mm-hmm. And Rosario Dawson in it is exceptional. It's kind of, you know, it's funny. I wrote in my review that when it comes to him doing stand-up, I love it. When it comes to movies he's written and directed in the past, I've not cared for them at all. He found a beautiful framework for this film, kind of a one day in New York. Yes, his Woody Allen film, it's been called many, many times, his Annie Hall, whatever you want
right.
to call it. This one day in New York where he's a film star who was a former stand-up, very autobiographical, talking to a reporter, played by Rosario Dawson, kind of, you know, where his life's been, his past, his present, what his future looks like. And so it ends up being kind of a vehicle that lets him kind of do his stand-up act in a
mm-hmm.
way,
mm-hmm.
but in a very structured way that it's very easy to fall. It's very funny. It's the best work he's ever done.
All right. We're talking with Michael Smith about the movies that are coming out at the end of the year, the great ideas. You know, after you open the presents on Christmas, you know, you're looking at your relatives, let's go see a movie, right? And so we're talking about movies today on Studio Tulsa. Well, you mentioned some of the good performances, and you mentioned Jake Gyllenhaal in Nightcrawler, Reese Witherspoon in Wild. What are some of the other performances and films you think are going to be Oscar worthy at the beginning of next year?
Well, I think I think Jake Gyllenhaal is someone who he's someone I've been championing for a while, and I think he's actually going to get a nomination this year, and he'll probably be joined by Michael Keaton for Birdman. I think Benedict Cumberbatch is a real shoe-in right now for The Imitation Game in that very complex role that he pulls off beautifully. Couple of others are a little open there, I think.
You said J.D. Simmons for
J.K. Simmons.
J.K. Simmons.
He'll be best supporting actor. He'll mm-hmm. be in that
yeah.
category. That's where they're running him in that race,
right.
And he's going to win it. There's a couple of other ones there. Edward Norton from Birdman. Ethan Hawke from
oh, wow.
Boyhood. Boyhood is still the movie out there. Now, I really liked it. I didn't like it. I didn't give it 4. I gave it 3.5 stars. It's going to be in my top 10. And this is a movie I would think, with some Oscar nominations probably in January, that it will be released again, unless, you know, it comes out on DVD before then. But it's a movie that has been gone for a while off the radar, but not for critics and people who vote on awards. I think this is still most likely the film that's going to win Best Picture.
Really?
Best Director.
Wow.
It's one of those things, I don't necessarily think it is the best film of the year, but it is one of the best, And it has the best story behind it. Mm. This passion project of a director who for 12 straight summers got together with a few actors for 3 or 4 days at a time and literally made this story about this boy aging from age 5 to 18. And we have the same actors in all of those roles. And it's a very organic sense of storytelling. It's unusual. It's a movie other people have watched for 2 hours and 45 minutes and said, well, nothing ever happened. Well, life happened, and maybe sometimes we don't feel like that's the most interesting thing cinematically, but I found it to be a very interesting film. I really enjoyed it. Some great performances, including Patricia Arquette as the mother and Ethan Hawke as the father.
All right. Well, it sounds like it's going to be a great movie time here the last couple of weeks of the year. There's some really good movies, some promising films, as well as ones that I think you said are worth taking a look at during the holidays.
Oh, and there's definitely.
And again, then right there. After the first of the year, it's right into awards season. Mm-hmm. And so you were talking about, you know, the Oscars vote last. It's almost like the award shows now are geared to influence Oscar voters almost. The Golden Globes comes up in just a couple of weeks, it seems.
That's
like.
Right. That's right.
Yeah.
And we don't hesitate to tell people that the Golden Globes usually mean nothing to the Oscars. They've had such a track record of not meeting up. But the Golden Globes just throw such a great party that show's on every year. It usually has the best host. It's the funniest show. You still get to see celebrities eating and drinking booze next to each other and looking like they're having a great time, looking like it being a party you wish you were invited to.
Yeah, right.
And the Oscars don't look like that. It looks a little stodgy, that sit up, good posture in your seat. And yeah, the Golden Globes are very popular for that effect, but they don't have much effect on the Oscars. And some of the others have a better track record, but yeah. No, everybody wants to win an award, and every award you can go to and be seen at and make a presentation, it's just a little more sales toward getting that Oscar. It's usually not about winning the award sometimes. It can just be about working the circuit, so to say.
Well, I'm sure we'll have your 10 best list and sort of a recap of the films to see during the holiday period in the Tulsa world. When should we look for those?
I think we'll have something coming up next. Let me see. Right around the 1st of January, we'll have my top 10. We'll also have a kind of a calendar look at some of the best, or let's say the most anticipated movies of 2015 coming up, probably in that same week, right around January 1st.
All right. Well, Michael, we appreciate your time today. Thanks very much for joining
us. Thank you, Rich, for having me.
Tulsa World movie critic Michael Smith speaking with us here on Studio Tulsa about the end-of-the-year films coming out from Hollywood. If you'd like to read more of his opinions, you can go to the Tulsa World's website, tulsaworld.com. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.